staff, we pointed out that according to Tosfos, based on that sugin Bavakama Daf Nun Beis, Tosfos writes that that is not considered to be a kinyan, but rather a form of an etilas rishus comparable to leg chazek ukinyan. Since now that I give permission for the socher to go ahead and to enter the bayis, so that is why that the Gemara assumes that the chiyuv bedik is incumbent upon the socher. And Rashi disagrees and maintains that it's not true, that this is considered to be a form of a kinyan, but Rashi does comment it's considered to be a kinyan of schirus, and therefore one could argue that Rashi would agree when it comes to outright mechir or matana, mesiras hamafteach is insufficient. When it comes to schirus, that certainly is the case. And as the Karbanas Sanal points out, that even though the Gemara and Dafayin Tes and Bava Kama seems to equate the kinyanim of schirus with that of mechira, it only works in one direction, namely, that which is sufficient for mechira will certainly work when it comes to schirus. But one could envision the possibility of a kinyan of schirus that would not be sufficient when it comes to the case of mechira. So therefore, of course, kesef sharon chazaka would work. And in addition to that, here you have a kinyan of mesira samavteach. And then we pointed out the chiddush of the Rashbam, who goes a step further, maintains that Mesiras Mateach works even when it comes to Kinyane Karka as well. But obviously that's only true when it's bilateral, when you have a Mesiras Mateach. If you're dealing with a case, for example, of Nichse Hager, where a person, for example, is being Zoche Menahefker, then it is clear that Mesiras Mateach would not function at all. Why is it that one would assume when it comes to schiras, mesiras mafteach is considered to be sufficient, but not when it comes to mechira? So the Karbanas Sanal already pointed out as follows, that the maisa kinyan has to reflect that which you are acquiring. If you're talking about an outright mechira or matana, you're requiring the gufel shel karka, so therefore that is not inherent in mesiras mafteach. When it comes to schirus, where the gufa karka belongs to the maskir, all that you're acquiring is a schus of hishtamshus, so therefore one could certainly argue that that hishtamshus is evident, that's embodied in the mesira samavteach, and therefore one could understand very well why one would distinguish between schirus as opposed to a case of matana and mechira. And then we pointed out the further possibility, the Rambam in Perek Aleph, Halachat Tezvav, Hilchos Mechira, where the Rambam writes, even when it comes to an outright kinyan, where normally we require tikkun hakarka, the Rambam writes that is only true when tikkun hakarka is possible. But let's say for practical reasons that cannot be done, let's assume a person is acquiring bedrock in such a case, then if it's schiach sela, a person cannot go ahead and acquire it the normal way. It's not basriya. The Rambam writes that ein ba lo geder ve lo pirtsa. So how is it that one would utilize a kinyan chazaka? It can't be done al yedei tikkun hakarka, but rather, the Rambam writes, hishtamshus. So shtichas peros is considered to be sufficient. Hamadas behema is sufficient. You see, according to the Rambam, even when it comes to an absolute kinyan, when the normal form of chazaka is not possible, then chazaka will be expressed in terms of a chizkas tashmish. And if that is true, one could argue that certainly is the case when it comes to schirus. Of course, a person cannot now start rearranging the karka if all he is a socher. And therefore, one could envision that as long as the kinyan reflects the schirus, that is sufficient, not because schirus is different from a chira. In principle, that will be true when it comes to cases of mechira as well. And a very different possibility was the following, that mesira samavteach could be understood not as a form of chazaka, but rather as a form of a kinyan of schira, a kinyan of meshicha. And perhaps one could argue as follows, that that cannot be done when it comes to karka, because since one is acquiring the gufo shel karka, obviously that gufo shel karka is not nitan lahagba, not nitan the mesira, not nitan the meshicha, and therefore that is impossible. But if in principle one could envision karka where a mesira is nitvas, then perhaps one could argue that a mesira or a meshicha would work. And perhaps this is true when it comes to the case of schiras. Precisely because I am not kona the gufo shel karka, but rather as hishtamshus, that hishtamshus again is embodied in the mesira smafteach, not as a form of chazaka, but rather as a form of meshicha or mesira. And this led to the broader discussion, Kedushin Daf Chav Beis. So let's assume, for example, you have an Eved who is considered to be Dino Kikarka. Would we assume that meshicha, in fact, would work? So Shmuel says that yes, that an Eved is nikna b'mashicha. And we discussed the Pnei Yoshua, the Ha'ara'av, the Nesivas and Kuptzarivav. Why exactly is that possible? It's not a kinyan of karka. How is it possible that this is a kinyan here? So two possibilities in Pnei Yoshua. One is that Mashicha is a highly universal kinyan, and only when there is a miut, we assume that in fact would not work, and therefore since there is no miut, when it comes to Avadim, Avadim are nikna b'mashicha. The other possibility is as follows. The second teretz of Pnei Yoshua, that in principle, Mashicha would work when it comes to karka, but in practice, simply, that's not applicable. How do you do an act of Mashicha on karka? But if one could envision Mashicha b'karka, that certainly would be sufficient. And therefore, even though an Eved is dino k'karka, by virtue of the fact that Eved is naide, in such a case, one could envision a Mashicha. And that was the kasha of the Nesivas. But don't you see from the case of an Otzi Tanakov, that certainly is not true. An Otzi Tanakov is considered to be dino k'karka, and yet it is bound by the kinyane karka, the sugin gitna davchav beis, as opposed to a case of Mashicha. So don't you see that it's not just simply a question of whether pragmatically the Maisa Kinyan can occur, but rather in Lamdus, whether it's Dino Kakarka, whether it's considered to be that which is Dino Kemetaltalin. And on that basis, we saw a very different possibility in Bir Hagra, and that is that maybe one could argue that the only reason Mashicha works when it comes to an Eved is because when it comes to Mile Dirabanan, an Eved is Dino Kimataltalin, even though Midaraisa in Eved is Sukkosh Lakarka, but not necessarily true when it comes to Dinim Drabanan. And that was that Sugim Baba Kamadaf Yabez, where Rav Nachman said when it comes to Shibudim, or when it comes to Prusbo, when it comes to Kinyan Agav, then we assume an Eved is considered to be Dino Kimataltalin. And therefore, perhaps based on that Chiddush Atosus, one could argue that's true when it comes to the case of Mashicha itself. But the other possibility was perhaps not. One could envision that Midaraisa, this could work because Mashicha is nitfas when it comes to a case of an Eved. And perhaps, as we discussed at length, the case of Otzit Shinonakov. The Otzit Hanakov is a different type of case where there, since it is Yonik Min HaKarka, so in such a case, Mashicha is not possible. If one were to accept that possibility that in principle Mashicha works when it comes to karka, as long as practically speaking you can express, you can perform a kinyan Mashicha. So therefore, that's true when it comes to an Eved, and perhaps one could suggest that that is true when it comes to schirus of karka, not the kinyan of karka, but schirus hakarka al yedei mesiras hamavteach. We mentioned the Rashbam Shita, also found in Yerushalmi, that tells us that Mesiras HaMateach works even when it comes to cases of Kinyane Karka. So if you look in the Bach in Choshen Mishpat and Simen Kuf Tzari Beis, the Bach is bothered by the following what Tosus writes. Tosus cites the Gemara, Bava Kama, Nun Beis, that does not seem to be true. There, the Gemara says that Mesiras HaMateach is Ela Kamanda Amalei Lechazei Ukeni. The Gemara seems to explain Mesiras HaMavteach just simply as a preliminary stage. I am granting you the right to acquire, but not that you will acquire through Mesiras HaMavteach. Why does the Gemara Bava Kama suggest that if, according to the Rashbam, this is considered to be an absolute kinyan? It's only impossible when it comes to being zochem in a hefker, nechse hager, but otherwise it's considered to be sufficient. So the Bach points out that even according to the Rashbam, one would have to argue that Mesiras HaMavteach can take different forms. It's somewhat ambiguous, Mesiras HaMavteach. Mesiras HaMavteach at times can just be an Atilas Rishus, and at times it can be a Kinyan. Minimally, when I deliver the maftechos to the Socher, I am allowing him to go ahead and subsequently be Kone. And that, the Bach writes, is true min hastam. We would not necessarily assume categorically that Mesiras HaMavteach is considered to be a Kinyan. But in a case of Masalei Beferish, the Shem Kinyan, but if I will give you the maftechos as a form of a Kinyan, then the Rashbam admits that that would be sufficient. The Rashbam would not argue, the Bach says, that in all cases that's true. Right? It depends on the das of the maskir and the das of the socher. Very often, when I give you the maftechos, it's simply access, and more is considered to be necessary. So that's exactly what the Gemara writes in Bava Kama, Daf Nun Beis, that Mesiras HaMavteach is minimally lechazeku kni. But if one were to be explicit, that can be a form of a kinyan chazaka as well. So our Tosfos points out as follows, that in our Gemara, this case of the socher and the maskir, there is mesiras hamafteach. The mesiras hamafteach, Tosfos writes, really is not considered to be a kinyan at all, but the chiddush, since al yedei mesiras hamafteach, the chametz is accessible to the socher, now he is the one who is obligated in the chovas habadikah. What's somewhat unclear from Tosfos is the following. Tosfos says that the kinyan was not done because Mesiras Mafteach is not a kinyan. It's just Lechazeku Kni. So therefore, the Chiddush of the Gemara is sometimes that sufficient to Rechovas Bedika. When the Chametz is accessible, now you are considered to be the one who must engage in the Bedika. But what about the following issue? Let's assume, for example, that the kinyan of Schirus was done. Tosfos says Mesiras Mateach is not a kinyan. So good. Kesev Shtar Chazaka. An actual kinyan of Schiras is done. What would Tosfos say under those conditions? So if you look in the back of the Gemara, the Tiferes Shmuel writes that clearly Tosfos will assume that if a Maisa kinyan is done, Kesev Shtar or Chazaka, then certainly the Vedika is incumbent upon the Socher. That certainly is true. The only question of our Gemara is when there is no kinyan, and all there was Mesiras Samavteach. But if there was a kinyan, there's nothing to discuss, then certainly the Bedika Zachiv incumbent upon the Socher. Even though, let's assume Mesiras Samavteach did not yet occur, but nonetheless he was Kona. He was Kona through a Shtar. So even though he never took formal possession, he never entered the field, and even if there wasn't a Mesiras Mafteach, but nonetheless, now, he is the absolute Socher, and then he is considered certainly to be Chayim. If you look in the Chiddush Rebbe Nodavid in our Sugya, Chiddush Rebbe assumes the same thing as well. Mesiras Mafteach is necessary when there was no Kinyan. Once there is a Kinyan, so of course, the Socher is considered to be Chayim. And this is against the Chiddush of the Ran. An Ar Gemara, Dir Maskel HaMaskir, where the Ran points out as follows, that both are necessary. Both are necessary. If I overtly am Kona something, you're right, I am considered to be the Baal. That certainly is true. When it comes to a case of Schirus, so even if you assume there's a kinin of Schirus, but the bias still belongs to the Maskir, the Chameit still belongs to the Maskir, so therefore, the fact that the Socher was Kona, the Schus of Schirus, Al Yedei, Kesev, or Al Yedei Chazaka, or Shtar, that is considered to be insufficient. You also require access. You require a Kinyan as well as Mesiras HaMafteach. A Kinyan alone for Schirus would be insufficient. So again, Tosfos is not so explicit. Tosfos just writes the Chiddush here that Aide Mesiras HaMafteach, the Socher would in fact be Chayiv. But what if there's a Kinyan? One could argue if there's a Kinyan, obviously yes, or maybe one could argue, you know, a Kinyan is insufficient because access is considered to be necessary. And the Ran underscores that you have to have Kinyan as well as Mesiras HaMafteach. This is what the Magid Mishnah writes in the Rambam as well. Chametz HaMatzah, Perek Beis, Halach Yidches, the Magid Mishnah writes that you require that the bias is considered to be his, a right of Schirus, but also that Matzah B'yadli Kanes, that he has access to it. Then you can argue that the Socher is considered in fact to be Chayim. So therefore, in these cases, that's the significance of Mesiras HaMafteach, where the Socher is Chayim for the Bedikas Chametz. The Gemara continues and tells us the following Chiddush, that what happens if the Schirus takes place, but we're talking about a case of Hamaskir Bayis Lechavero Biyud Dalid. Do we assume that already now Cheskaso Baduk, or do we assume in Cheskaso Baduk? As the Gemara said before, if the Schirus occurred prior to then, the Socher is Chayim. What happens if it is Be'emtza Yud Dalid? Now, who is it that has the Chovas HaBedika, or can the Socher assume that the house was already checked, that the Bedika already took place? So the Gemara raises the following kasha, that L'may Nafkamina, why should there be a difference at all? The Gemara says, L'shaile, let the Socher just ask the Maskir, did you engage in Bedikas Chametz, or did you not? No, so the Gemara answers, the masker is no longer here, and therefore we cannot be mevarer as to whether the bedikah took place or whether it did not. So again, the Gemara raises the following issue. Masker b'aisach Rav Yehudah, do we assume cheskas abadok? Do we assume ein cheskas abadok? And the Gemara gets all upset. Ask him. And the Gemara has to answer, well, he's not here. L'chora, one could argue as follows, that, what does the Gemara mean? My nafkamin l'shaylei. L'chora, one could have argued, no, he hanosenes. That's exactly the dune of the Gemara. No? A person is masker by his biyadalit. If you assume cheskas abaduk, maybe one could argue there is no need to inquire at all. If it's ein cheskas abaduk, then I understand. Now I am obligated to go ahead and to be mefarer. Then I have to go ahead and ask the masker. The Gemara doesn't say that, but a chiddush, no? The Gemara says, why do you have to debate whether yes cheskas abaduk, ein cheskas abaduk? Why not ask him? Why not ask him? Apparently, you just see from the simple shakla v'tarya of the Gemara, and that is that even if one should assume cheskas baduk, nonetheless, one cannot rely on the cheskas baduk, but makom shef shalavari. That's exactly what the Gemara objects. Well, what are you debating cheskas baduk? Even if it's cheskas baduk, ask him. And that's what the Gemara is going to now answer. He's not here to ask, so when I can't ask, do I have a right to rely on chazaka? But if you could ask, apparently one is obligated to do so. Boshab shat, the shak levatari of the Gemara. Otherwise, one would have argued that he hanosenes. That's exactly the question of the Gemara. If you hold cheskas abaduk, you don't have to do anything more. Tosus makes this comment, but Tosus makes the comment later in the Gemara, no? Tosus doesn't make the comment interesting at this point. Tosus later says the following. When the Gemara says that Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says Tinisua, let's resolve this issue of Cheskas Abaduk from the following. We learned that Hakol Ne'emanim An Bir Chametz, even Nashim, Avodim, Ktanim. So the Gemara says the following. What do you mean? Since when do you have a right to believe these individuals? What right do you have to leave an Eved? What right do you have to leave a Katan? We'll have to talk about Nashim. L'chore Nashim are Ne'emanos. No, but the Gemara says no. That what right do you have to leave all of them? Isn't it lav mishum cheskas abaduk? That's a raya of cheskas abaduk. So Tosus daftal mabeis is bothered with the obvious kasha. Well, if you hold cheskas abaduk, so how are you relying on the nashim avanim uktanim? No, what do you mean? You can rely on nashim avanim uktanim, and that's a raya that cheskas abaduk. Because if ain't cheskas abaduk, you can't rely on them. Well, if you hold cheskas abaduk, why is there any need to rely on them? No? So that's what Tosu says. Even if you say there's cheskas abaduk, but nonetheless, if the Bala Bayis is Be'ir, didn't the Gemara just say that you have to inquire? One cannot rely on the chazaka. So the chiddush of the Gemara is the following, that if there are nashim avadim uktanim who can confirm that the Bayis is baduk, then you don't have to do anything more. But if they are not present, despite the fact that cheskas abaduk, more investigation is necessary. So you see, Tosus writes, you see from the Hemshech HaGemara, right, that even if there is a chazaka, but nonetheless, one cannot rely on the chazaka, b'makom shef shalavare. And this is what the Ran points out, and Daf Alf Mabez and Daf Behariv, the Ran writes that lo samchinan chazaka, one has no right to rely on chazaka, if it's Efshir Levri Milsa, then Mivarinon, then you're obligated to go ahead and do so. And the Ran quotes the following Chiddush of the Rif. The Rif found in the very beginning of Masech Eskulin. That's where the Gemara writes that Rov Mitsuyin Eitzel Shchita Mumchimein. When a person engages in Shchita, right, we have a right to follow Rov to assume that he's proficient in the Dinei HaShchita. Nonetheless, right, the Rif says the following, even though this is true, but one still must investigate. Even though it's true that there is a robe that supports the fact that it's a Shchita Kshera, but if Efshar Livarei Mevarina, And therefore, the Ran points out what is true here of Bedikas Chametz is also true when it comes to Rov Metsuin Eishel Shchita Mumchimei. And this is against the Ritva in our sugya. The Ritva writes that you see from our Gemara that we only rely on a Chazaka when it's E'ef Shalavarer. However, if it's E'ef Shalavarer, then Mevarinam. The Ritva writes, and what about the Gemara in the very beginning of Chulin? That Rov Metsuin Eishel Shchita Mumchimei? And that means that Einot Tzarech Levarer? That's what the Ritva writes explicitly in Chulin Daf Gilmud Beis, right? That Rov Metsuin Eishel Shchita Mumchimei means that you don't have to inquire. That's sufficient. So against the Ritva, the Ritva writes in our Gemara, She'ein Kol HaChazak Oshavos. One cannot necessarily make a gzera shava. Every single chazaka. Sometimes, despite the fact that there is a chazaka, sarach levarure, and sometimes that is not true. Ein kol chazaka shavos. That's lashon of the Ritva on our daf. What exactly does that mean? Ein kol chazaka shavos. When yes, when no. When are you obligated to be mevara? When in fact are you not? So if you look in the Beis Yosef, Beis Yosef is found here in our Simen, in our Achayim in Simen Tuf Lamed Zayin. The Beis Yosef writes the following. Let's assume, for example, a person is Shochet de Behema. Well, we know that there are many potential trefos, there are Yudches trefos, but the Halacha does not require that one has to examine the animal to make sure that it is free from all of these trefos. We have a right to go ahead and to rely on the chazaka. And since rov behemos einon trefos, so in such a case, einon tzarech levare. How does that fit the Beis Yosef writes with our case? Where even if there is a chezkas baduk, one is obligated to be mevarer only if that is impossible. Right? That's when we assume one can rely on a chazaka. So the Beis Yosef writes the following chiddush, and that is there a counter? Is there an opposing chazaka? Is there an opposing chazaka? The Beis Yosef writes, the fact that we're talking about Vedika means that we're talking about a makom shmachnisin b'chametz. And therefore, there is a prior chazaka that it's a bayishiyesh b'chametz. So there is a chazaka that points to the fact that chametz is there. You're right. That is complicated. That's balanced by a cheskas baduk. Yeah. But if there is a chazaka that will tilt in the opposite direction, that's the Beis Yosef writes, then that is when we assume that tzarech levarer. When it comes, for example, to the more remote possibility that a behemah is considered to be a trefa, in such a case, there is no chazaka that supports that position. And therefore, we have a right to rely on this rov, that rov behemah sein on trefas, and eno sarech levare. That's the chiddush, the Beis Yosef writes. Perhaps birur is only necessary in our Gemara, when there is a chazaka, right, which is tilting in the opposite direction. And if you look in this siman in Tuf Lamed Zayin, this is what the Magen Avram quotes as well. The Magen Avram, Sif Katan Dalet, quotes this Beis Yosef, that our case of Bedika is more complicated because the chazaka is not a pure chazaka of Chezkas Baduk. One also has to consider the chazaka that it's a bayish shemachnisin bochametz. If you look in the Prima Gadim is found elsewhere, right? It's in Yeradeyan, the Psicha to Simen Lamates, and also the Rosh Yosef and Arsugya. Here the Prima Gadim writes the following. Yes, in principle, absolutely. Kol heched de'efshe levare mevarinam. But what does efshe levare mean? What does efshe levare mean? Mikar hadin, one can rely on a chazaka. You're right. The efshe levare, mevarinon. What is efshe levare? Efshe levare. So the Prima Gadim writes that, you know, the fact that something in principle is possible does not always mean that that's called Efshel Dvarim. One has to consider, the Prima Gadim writes, right, the Tircha, which is involved, whether we consider it that Efshel as opposed to Efshel. So here our Gemara says the following: if the Maskir is standing right there, and he can just turn to the Maskir and say, did you do a Bedika? So we're going to argue that no, right, do not ask the Maskir. In other words, Efshel Dvarim means, the Prima Gadim writes, Efshel Dvarim Bikal. One who could easily do so. The Prima Gadim writes that would not apply to Yurches Trefos. It's pretty cumbersome to go ahead and to do an internal bedika on all the potential trefos of an animal. And therefore, Alpidin, that's called the Efshel Dvarim, an important chiddush that the Prima Gadim writes in the Psicha to Simen Lametes. Interestingly, the Magen Avram quotes that chiddush as well. The Magen Avram is found in Hilchos Tzitzis, in Simen Ches, in Sivkatan Yud Aleph, where the Magen Avram writes that before a person makes a bracha on Tzitzis, that's Simen Ches, that Yesh Livdo Chutei HaTzitzis, a person should check the Tzitzis, right, to make sure everything is intact. Sometimes things happen to Tzitzis, we all know, so therefore, a person regularly should check the Tzitzis before he makes a bracha. And why is that true? The Magen Avraham writes, because after all, you're going to rely on a chazaka. The fact that I previously checked and it was fine, therefore I can assume that now that is the case as well. So the Magen Avraham writes, what do you mean? That here, very easily, one could be mevarer. And therefore, that's called Efshel Dvarim Bikal, exactly the chiddush of the Prima Gadim. In fact, if you look in the Dogom Revava there in Simen Ches, it's also found in the Note of Yehuda, in Madura Kama, in Yerodea Simen Nun Hei. The Note of Yehuda just highlights these two comments, the Magen Avram, that in Taf Lamed Zayin, the Magen Avram cites the distinction of the Beis Yosef, an opposing Chazakah. Here, you have to do so, because after all, there was a chazaka that it was a makam shechnisim bochametz. And in Hilchos Tzitzis, the Magen Avraham quotes the svara of the Prima Gadim that writes, it just depends whether something is easily done or whether it's considered to be somewhat cumbersome. So the Note of Yehuda raises that issue that sounds as though that the Magen Avraham, to an extent, is contradicting himself. Is it all a function of whether bekal, or is it no? That only when there is an opposing chazaka, that's when you have to do so. After all, in the case of Hilchos Tzitzis, there, yes, Tzarech Livdok, even though there's no opposing chazaka, you see that even when there is no chazaka in opposition, a person still of Tzarech Livdok. So if you look in the Evan HaOzel, Rav Yisr Zalman writes the following, this is found in Chametz HaMatzah, Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Zayin, that in our Gemara there's a Chezkas Baduk. Chezkas Baduk, that's one side, but nonetheless you still have to check. You still have to ask the Maskir, Chezkas Baduk. The Evan HaOzel writes the following, that Chazaka, right, is supported by a rov, by a rov. The same thing is true when it comes to the trefos case. Rov behemos are not considered to be a trefa. There is a rov that teaches us that when a person is socher bayis, so in such a case, the zman of bedika is balayla. And therefore, the assumption that, generally speaking, chances are, in the vast majority of cases, the bedika was done. So then, when you have, right, the rov, that's when we assume, in principle, ein otzarech bedika, unless there is a competing chazaka. When it comes to the case of tzitzis, there we're just dealing with what we generally assume is a chazaka de meikara. That, you know, I know that that was the status yesterday. The tzitzis were absolutely fine. Now, I can assume that that continued. So when you're just following a typical chazaka, not one which is rooted in rov, so in such a case, that's what the Magen Avraham writes, that a chazaka, one should investigate. If it's a chazaka which is rov, then not. In other words, just like the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Pei, aruba b'chazaka, aruba adif, generally speaking, if something is rov, we don't necessarily assume that that birur is necessary, like rov behemos inon trefos. Here we do as an exception because there's a counter chazaka. The bayis was a makam shalhiksim bochametz. But if not for that factor, we'd say inot tzarech levarir. But if you deal with a typical chazaka in such a case, there, kol heichadef shalavruim mevarina. That difference of rov versus chazaka is similar to what we discussed many times at kovet shirim, right, in Baba Basra and Os Ayin Ches, that how do we know that Ruba Bechazaka Ruba Adif? That's a Gemara in Kedushin Daf Pei, but they're both Daraisa. Why do you assume that one is any better than the other? And that's the Lamdas, right? Take a look again of Rabbi Chanan, that they work in very different ways. Rov is Mevare. Rov is Mevare. Chazaka is not an attempt toward Birur. Right? We've discussed that Tosos and Nazar and Daf Nun Zayin. Doesn't bother us. If applying a chazaka results in something that cannot be, right? You look and you see that there are two nazirim, one of them stepped on a source of tumas meis. Doesn't bother me that I'll paskin that each one has a cheskas tahara. But I know that's not true. Tosa says a chazaka does not have to be true. Chazaka tells us how to act when birur is impossible. And rov is an attempt at birur. Rov is an attempt at birur. As we've discussed in earlier Shirmal, the difference is what dini hachra are mevarer, which dini hachra are just betoras niug. Perhaps part of this chiddush as well, that if you have just a simple chazaka, which is not an attempt to birur, step one is birur. When birur is impossible, then you rely on chazaka, because the Torah has to tell us how to conduct ourselves when birur is impossible. The Gemara Nidin Daf Beis of Admit Mishnimdad Benim Tzuchaser. There's no way I can tell when the water evaporated, when the mikveh became a mikveh psula. So what do I do now? What do I do with all the taros that for the past day or week or year, right, were immersed in that mikveh? So I have to know how to be noheg, even though birur is impossible. So it's not surprising when you have a typical chazaka, the first thing we're going to tell you is lishalei. Just let's see if you can find out. And if you can't find out, then we're going to apply dinei chazaka. But if you have something which is rooted in rov, and rov means that, not that we're clueless, but rov means we have a right of holchin acha harov to determine that this is in fact what occurred, we understand very well, as Rabbi Chanan writes, why ruba v'chazak ruba adif. It's not a contradiction at all. Chazaka only begins when birur is impossible, and if birur is impossible, ayidei rov, of course, that's step one. So here as well, you have a chazaka. Right? What do you mean there's a chazaka? First, see if birur is possible. If birur is impossible, then we'll talk about cases of a chazaka. But if it's something which is rooted in rov, in such an instance, that's when one could argue that birur, right, is not always required. It is not always required. So these are the various possibilities. In terms of simply, when tsarech or whether ain't tsarech levarer. Rashi makes the following comment in our Gemara. Rashi writes the following, that look, if he's here, ask him. The Gemara says that's the problem. No, less likely shaluya. He's not here. So therefore, what is the question of the Gemara? Since he is not here, la truche lahai mai. So do we trouble the socher, right, to do a bedika, or do we assume that that is not true? Good. So Rashi writes, Ramaskal Kagon, Rashi writes the following, Umi Boilan, La Truche Lahai Socher Divdok. And the question of the Gemara is, now do we insist that the Socher has to occupy himself with doing the Vedika? And Rashi says the following: Matruche leisoch livdok misafek mai. Misafek mai. What exactly does the word misafek mean? Because even if you assume there's no cheskas baduk, what does that mean? I can't absolutely assume that the guy, the maskir, thoroughly checked. Yeah, but still, there's a latest hasafek. What does it mean that ein cheskas baduk? It means that I absolutely will assume that the bias is ein baduk. No. Ein cheskas baduk means I cannot presume that the bias is a bias baduk. And therefore, that's exactly what Rashi says. It's a suffix. You can't be sure. Now that's what Rashi is, no? The bay of the Gemara is the following, that mi suffix mai. That word in Rashi is pretty critical, no? In other words, even if one assumes that eim cheskas baduk, but I'll call him mi de suffix lo nafka, it's still a suffix. Well, if that's true, perhaps it could give rise to the following question. If that really is the case, good, ein cheskas baduk, but ein cheskas baduk does not mean that the house was absolutely not checked. You know, chances are the house probably was checked. I mean, the guy's supposed to be doing a bedika. But nonetheless, since there is a leidas hasafek, because one cannot presume a cheskas baduk, so therefore, one is obligated to engage in bedika. Why is that so clear? Once you acknowledge that there is such a safek, and once you assume, exactly as the Gemara writes in Daf Dalma Beis, that midaraisa bitul bal masagi and bedika schametz is only derabanan, why not just simply argue that safek derabanan lakula? Our Gemara utilizes midaraisa bitul bal masagi and bedika only derabanan to explain why the nemanos of an isha or an ever a katan is sufficient. Well, forget about nemanos. Once you're assuming that there's a safek as far as bedika is concerned, and midaraisa bitul bal masagi, why doesn't the Gemara say now you don't have to do anything more? This is a safek derabanan. Why does the Gemara only utilize this to explain why those who normally are not ne'emanim midaraisa would be granted ne'emanos here? Once you assume that point, derabanan, so why not assume that this is a safek derabanan? So if you look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Chametz Matzah Perek Beis Halacha Yud, the Rambam writes the following, a very different discussion, the Gemara that we'll get to in Daf Tes and Daf Yud. The Rambam writes in Beis Yud the following: what happens if hiniach tisha tziburim? What happens if you have piles outside your house, right? And nine of them are shel matzah, and ve'echad shel chametz? You have a bunch of piles outside your house: chametz piles, matzah piles. The vast majority is considered to be that of matzah. And the Rambam describes uba achbar v'nata. And all of a sudden, the achbar comes, and he takes from one of the piles. And v'lo yadanu im chametz im matzah natal. We don't know what that achbar was holding. And guess what? V'nichnas lebayis baduk. And he runs into one of the homes. It's checked. So the Rambam writes that tzarech libdok. You have to redo the whole bedika. You have to redo the whole bedika. That's what the Rambam writes based on the sugya later on Daf Tes. So I know that something entered the house, but I don't know whether what entered is chametz or non-chametz. So tzarech libdok. Tzarech libdok. And you can't follow Rov, because since you're dealing with tziburim, that's the Rambam writes, kol kavua kemechtzal mechtzadami. So in such a case, that's it. So the Ravid writes the following, v'lo mechavra haimilson. No, he disagrees with the Rambam writes. It's not straight at all. Yeah, of course the Gemara says that that's true. That if the achbar goes and takes something into the house, more has to be done. But the Ravid writes that that is only le'inyan bittel. Le'inyan bittel. Something more has to be done. Namely what? A bittel chametz. But the Ravid writes, but le'inyan bedika, sveika derabbanan. A suffik in bedikas chametz. A suffik in bedikas chametz, sveika derabbanan lekula. That's what the Ravid writes. Yeah, the Gemara says there's a problem if chametz enters the house. So if it's a question as to whether chametz enter the house, something must be done, but not bedika. Bittu, but once midraisa bittu b'masagi, that's it, finished. That's the Ravid's hasaga. So the Magid Mishnah, there, Beis Yud writes, a pretty important yisod. And what does the Rambam do with this? The Magid Mishnah writes that, afal gav desfeka drabarani. What do you mean? Kevan shebedikas chametz tchilasa al hasafek. Isn't that true of all bedikas chametz? Isn't that the takon of bedikas chametz? The Gemara never says that midaraisa bitul b'masagi, so therefore, right, forgo with any need for bedika whatsoever. The fact that the chametz sista bedika means that hichmira b'safek yosem yishar sveiko shol divrayim. Here we don't apply the principle of sveika dron lekula. That's the essence of bedika. Bedika requires a form of chipus. That means we're not going to rely on a suffix which is lakula. And therefore, that's what the Rambam writes. If you have that case of Tisha Tziburin, it's in such a case, yeah, tzarech livdok. What suffix? How do you ever do a bedika? Right? The fact that one must do a bedika, it means that we're not satisfied with. Chances are you have no chametz. That has to be ascertained, right? But Torah's vaday, that's the chiddush of Magid Mishnah. Pashup Shat, one could argue here as well, that Enachinami, even if as Rashi points out there is a suffik, and even though the Gemara is now about to tell us that Bidika's Chametz is only the Rabbanan, Sveik, Adron Nakula does not apply. So extending, right, that Ha'ara, Magid Mishnah, perhaps that's exactly Pashup Shat in our Gemara. Saying that there's no cheskas bodok does not mean that there is absolutely chametz that is present. It means there's potential chametz, the possibility of chametz. And the possibility requires that you have to do bedika. Even though bedika is only drabanan, that's the nature of bedika. Chipos b'toras vaday. If you look in the Shar HaMelech gives a different tarets. The Shar HaMelech is found elsewhere. It's found in Perek Yud of Hilchos Mikvaos, in the end of Klal Aleph, when the Shar HaMelech quotes the Shach in Yerodei in Simen Kuf has a whole section which is called the Klalei Sveik Sveika. And in Klal Chaf, the Shach writes the following, that if you have a Chezkas Iser, you don't assume suffik drabanan lekula. Min hastam, when you can go either way, that's when you assume suffik drabanan lekula. But when there is a chezkas iser, so the fact that there's a suffik does not mean, okay, forget it. It means no. If there's a suffik and there was a chezkas iser, so therefore we assume that initial chazaka is still intact. Mi suffik, one cannot uproot the prior chazaka. So the Shar HaMelech writes, no, that's true in our case. We're dealing with a makom shmachnisin bochametz. We're dealing with a bayis where, according to the Sara, the Gemara is a chezkas eino baduk. Eino baduk. If you have a chezkas baduk, you're right. But now that the Gemara says, no, we can't assume there's a cheskas baduk. So what's the question? If you can't assume it's a cheskas baduk, there should be a suffik and sveika deron and lekula. Here we're talking about a bayis where cheskas eino baduk, under such circumstance, you don't apply the principle of sveika deron and lekula. And furthermore, this can even be said according to the Ravid, according to the Ravid as well. In that case, we just discussed chametz matzah beis yud, tisha tziburim. The Rambam writes what happens: the achbar goes ahead and snatches the chametz, And the Rambam writes, v'nichnas l'bayis baduk. Yes, that's what the Rivan was assuming. What do you mean? Nichnas l'bayis baduk. So if you have a chezkas baduk, that's where the Rivet says, that's when you assume Sveika Drabban is Lakula. But in Achinami, in our Gemara, the Gemara is not willing to assume that there is any Chezkas Baduk. They were talking about a house that was checked, that something re-entered. Here we don't even know if there was any Badik at all. That's our issue. Hasocher Bayis B'Yadavid. So here there is no Chezkas Baduk. So if there is a Chezkas Yisr, so in such a case, that's the Chiddush that the Shar Malach writes, he invokes the Shach, one cannot assume the principle of Sveikadron Lakula. If Ba Achbar Banichnas Labayis Baduk, yes, so that's when the Ravid says that nothing more must be done. So why is it that any Bedika is necessary in our Gemara? Isn't it a Suffolk? And Bedika's Chametz is only Dirabanan? So one possibility is, yes, the Magid Mishnah. One cannot apply this principle to Bedika. The whole institution of Bedika means that Chippus is needed misafek. Another possibility is that there is a Chezkas Yisr. The Dvar Shmuel writes that he thinks perhaps there should be a nafkamina as to whether one is unsure as to the status initially of this given area. Let's assume, for example, that there's a suffix whether this is a makam shmach nisn bochametz. Not that it's absolutely a makam shirich bochametz, but maybe a bedika was done, because I just arrived on Yudalit. But last night, this was in the possession of the maskir. No, let's assume, for example, we really don't know. Right, the person goes ahead and whatever, he rents this type of area, and it's not even known whether this was absolutely a makam shmach nisn bochametz. So what would happen in just such case? So Boshev Shat, one could suggest that according to Magid Mishnah, it doesn't matter. The whole nature of Bedika is, what do you mean you have a suffik whether there's a makam shmach nisn bochametz? You know what you have to do, b'makam suffik? Bedika. But if you argue, as the Shar HaMelech, that it's only a function of a chezkas iser, well, yeah, when you have a makam shmach nisn bochametz with a suffik, whether it's baduk, that's true. But if there would be a suffix, whether it was ever makam shach nisim bochametz, maybe that is not the case. If you look in Maram Chalava, here in Ar Gemara, it's in the end of the Dermaschel Ule Inyan, Maram Chalava suggests the following. What exactly is the question? Why is it necessary to do a bedika? This is a suffik drabanan, and suffik dron is lakula. So maybe bedika is different, or maybe there's a chezkas iser. Ram Chalava writes something which sounds just very, very basic, and that is, whenever you have the principle of sveik dron lakula, kol she'efsher lamod al biruro. What do you mean? Sarech lamad alav. This is not unusual about Bedikas Chametz. Whenever you apply the principle of Safek Dron Lakula, that's a fallback position when you're stuck. But if Birur is possible, that's true even for a Safek Drabanan as well. And Ram Chalava writes explicitly in our Gemara, the same thing is true when it comes to a Sveik Sveika. B'chol Sveik Drabanan, O Sveik Sveika Daraisa, Kol Shef Shalam and Abiruro, Shal Dovar, that Ein Maschen Ad Shamadalav. Step one is Biru. Bedika is no different than anything, not because there's a Cheskas Isser, not because Bedika is Niskan Ala Sveik. This is the rule, this is not an exception. That Safek Dron Lakula, or even Sveik Sveik Lakula, is only when Birur is impossible. That's an important Chiddush. Right? Is that really so obvious that that is true? Let's assume that principle, Sveik Sveik Lakula. That's only b'makom she'i efshe levare. But if efshe levare, tzarech levare. That's what Chalava writes expressly in our Gemara. Perhaps this point is a pretty fundamental machlokas rishonim. Let's start with that case of sveik sveika. The Gemara on Beis and Daf Gimel Bay is called Zebraisa. It tells us the following. Let's assume, for example, you have right the Beitza Shenolda. Right, opening Mishnah Maseches Beitza tells us that that Beitza is forbidden. Lo tzei ochel. The Brice adds the following: Sveika Asura, Sveika Asura. I don't know if it's a Beitza Shenolda. I kind of walk into the barn, and I see that there's a Beitza Shenolda. You'll ask me, when was it born? I'm not sure. Maybe it was Nolad on Yantiv. Maybe it was there on Erev Yantiv. No, if it's a Safek, Sveik Asur. Then the Braisa continues again. Beitza Shenolda is forbidden. Sveika Asur. And then Nisarva Be'elef, Kulin Asuros. And even if that Beitza gets mixed in, someone went ahead and took that egg, right, and threw it in with all the other eggs. So everything is us. Everything is us. Why is that? Nisarva be'elav kulin asuros. And what about the principle of bittul? Good, it's muktza. But shouldn't it be batel? So that's where the Gemara tells us the following chiddush, that all of these halachos, sveik asura, nisarva asura, all of that is because muktza is a davar sheish lamatirin. And a davar sheish lamatirin is not batel. So since muktz is a davar sheish lamatirin, therefore, sveika asura, even though safek muktz is a safek deravana, and even if nisar b'lev kulin asuros, davar sheish lamatirin is lo batel. Why exactly is that true? So Rashi writes, right, the simple approach. Rashi writes in that sugyan beitz and daf gimel that ad she tochlenu b'yisr tochlenu b'heter. That's what Rashi writes. What do you have to rely on any kula today? If you're eating the beitz today, that's reliance on kula. Just wait till tomorrow; the whole issue will resolve itself. Tomorrow it's no longer yantif. There's no muktzah problem whatsoever. So ad shetochlenu b'yisr tochlenu b'heter. That's how Rashi understands davar sheish lamatirin. Obviously, according to Rashi, and that's what it sounds like from Gemara's elsewhere, the Gemara Metzia and Daf Nun Gimel, that davar sheish lamatirin is a chumra d'rabbanan. Chumra d'rabbanan. Midaraisa, of course, there's bittul. But you know what? What do you have to rely on the kula of bittul today? You have nevela, you have treifa. You have something which is inherently aser, machmer means you can never use it. So that's when we'll assume that it's mutter. Safek drabanon, you have no choice. We'll assume ditto. Here, an easy option, wait till tomorrow. Ad she tochlenu b'yisr tochlenu b'heter. That's Rashi Shita. That's the simple understanding of Dorash Eish Lamatirin. If you look in the Ran in Nedarim, the Ran in Nedarim is found in Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph. There the Ran gives a fancy biur of Dorash Eish Lamatirin. And it could very well be that according to the Ran, this is a Din D'Oraisa. This is not just a Din D'Rabbanan. The Ran writes just the following Chiddush. The Ran writes just very quickly that there is a machlokas Rabbi Nida Chachamim, whether min b'mina was batel, or whether min b'mina was eno batel. Rabbi Yehuda maintains that min b'mina is not batel. When you have two opposing forces, there's a clash, so something has to prevail. A has to trump B. So there's bittel. Let's assume that it's min b'mina. These are two items that complement each. Why should there be bittel? What do you mean? There aren't opposing forces. That's Rabbi Yehuda's shita, that min b'mina is not batel. And the Chachamim disagree and maintain that min b'mino is batel. So I would have said that that's a pretty fundamental machlokes, whether min b'mino is batel, but the Mimbamina was not Batal. So the Ran writes this fascinating, fascinating Chiddush, right, that not everybody agrees that Mimbamina was not Batal. Everybody agrees that's true. In order to invoke Bittul, you have to have some clash, you have to have some opposition. Everyone agrees Mimbamina was not Batal. Now, what do you mean? The Chacham say Mimbamina was Batal. What do you mean everybody agrees Mimbamina is not Batal? So the Ran writes this fascinating biur. Mimbamina was not Batal. Everybody agrees that's true. But you know what the Shita of the Chachamim is? How do you classify something, whether it's Mimbamina or whether it's Mimbashena Mina? So Rabbi Yehuda just simply says, what do you mean? Look at its physical composition. Right? If this is meat and meat, that's called Mimbamina. Chacham say, no, that's not true. The real world is the halachic world. Not what do you mean, meat and meat? Right? This is Besar Shchuta, which is Mutter Bachila. And this is Besar Nevela, which is Asr Bachila. They're worlds apart. Right. The halacha declares that that is called Min V'Sheino Mino. The fact that this is Nesar, Heter and Isser is called Min V'Sheino Mino. In principle, the halacha would also agree that Min B'Mino is Batel. But the halachic reality is that this is called Min V'Sheino Mino, Heter and Isser. Most of the Rishonim used to refer to this as the Telzera, because it's a Telzer Chakira, whether you view something in Mitzias, whether you view something Al-Pidin, as the Ran says. No, physical composition, you couldn't tell these two pieces of meat apart. But the halacha, they're worlds apart. So is that classified as Min B'Mino or Min V'Sheino Mino? So what does the Ran gain by his whole fancy Chiddush? Now, the Chacham really don't say that Min B'Mino is Bata. Really, they say Min B'Mino is not Bata, but this is just Min V'Sheino Mino. The Ran says, what I gain through this whole Biur is Dabar Sheish L'Matir. That's what the Ran writes. When do I argue that an Isser is sufficiently potent that it can label the Chafetz, the Tarubos, as Min V'Sheino Mino? That's if it's an Isser Olam. Nevela, Trefa. If you have something like Muktzah, where the Isser is here today, but it's gone tomorrow, then the Ran writes, even the Chachamim would agree that such a temporary Isser is not sufficiently potent to label the Chafetz as Eino Mino. And therefore, in a word, right, the Ran Shita is, the Davar Sheish L'Matirin is Min B'Mino. The composition is identical. La halacha, they're worlds apart. They're not so worlds apart. A beitza shenolda is not a world apart from a regular beitza. No, v'haraya tomorrow, they're halachically identical. That's the fancy lumdus of the Ran. Right. There's a comment the Kesef Mishnah has. The Kesef Mishnah is found elsewhere in Hilchos Meila Perek Zayin Halacha Vav. The Davar Sheish L'Matirin is a din daraisa. How can it be a din daraisa? Boshem Shas because of this Ran. Because Min B'Mino and Min B'Sheino Mino, that's a Din D'Araisa. Rashi Svara, Ad She'Tachlano B'Isser, Tachlano B'Heter. Yeah, that's a Din D'Rabbanon. What do you have to rely on a Kula today for? Wait till tomorrow. That's not a Din, that doesn't sound like a Din D'Araisa. No, but if you assume as the Ran, this is an essential difference as to whether something is Min B'Mino, Min B'Sheino Mino. Yeah, that's a Din D'Araisa. That's a Din D'Araisa. I'll tell you one nafkamina. Interesting, possible nafkamina. This is a prima gadim. The prima gadim is found in the Shar HaTaruvos, in Yeridea, in Perak Beis. Prima gadim writes a fancy nafkamina. What was the case? You have a beitza shenolda, a mukta egg, that got mixed up with all the other eggs. The worker took the egg and threw it, right, in the whole pile of eggs. Let's make the case worse, no? This wasn't just a mukta egg. This was a beitzas trefa shenolda shenisarva. This was a trefa that was nolad on Shabbos yantiv, and the worker threw it into the pile. So the Prima Gadim writes the following. Now, according to the Ran, we're home free. Because since this was a beitzas trefa, well, the permanent Isser of trefa is going to label it as min v'sheino mina. Even if it has one Isser, which is temporary. Yeah, but it has another Isser, which is a permanent Isser. So the permanent iser is going to label this beitza as min rishen amino, then it will be batel. If it only had the problem of muktza, it's not going to be batel. If it has a real serious problem of treifa, now it is batel, because now it's min rishen amino. Whereas, according to Rashi Shita, what do you have to rely on a double bittul for? Eating it today, you're being mevatel nisr treifa, being mevatel nisr muktza. Wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow comes, it'll make it easier for us. Now we'll just have one iser to contend with. So wait till tomorrow. Let's try to minimize iser. Yeah, pretty interesting, my focus. That's my focus. Rashi in the Ran Vadavar Sheishlamatir. When I was in Smichas, so we had the oral bechinas with Rabbi Lam in Smichas. They took three of us at a time. So I don't remember who the third person was, but it was myself, Rabbi Tursky, and the third guy. So Rabbi Lam knew me and he knew Rabbi Tursky, and all the questions were to this third guy. I was all sorry for him. So his question was this, the Ran Vadavar Sheishlamatir. With the nafkamina, the prima gadim, and so on. So it's a chiddush. It's a chiddush, that case. Good. So the Pnei Yehoshua raises a kasha. That gemara beitza, gemara beiz. So you have a beitza shenolda, sveika asura, the imnis arva kulin asuras. Imnis arva kulin asuras. So the Gemara says, wait a second, why is an obito and why is safek aser? The Gemara says, Dabar Sheish Lamatir. The Pnei Yehoshua asks a pretty strong kasha. But according to Rashi, what do you have to rely on kulus for? What do you have to rely on kulus for? So you understand the Gemara very well. Beitza Shenolda, right? Sveik Asura, Nisarva Kula Asuras. What do you have to rely on the kula of suffix on the kula? What do you have to rely on the kula of bittul? Just wait till tomorrow. Right? Everything becomes mutter. I understand very well. But according to the Ran's fancy biur, the davar sheish matirin is because it's laid on alpidin as min bamino and min mezna batel. All of that is fine and good if you have a taruvos, no? But what about the earlier line of the Braisa? Sveika asura. Sveika asura. A suffix is asa. The Gemara answers, you know why a suffix is asa? Because Dabar Sheish, how does that fit according to the Ran? No? How does that fit at all? The Ran's whole incredible approach is all in Dini Taruvos. But why is it relevant to a case of suffix? No? The Gemara says, Mukt is only Disa Drabanan. Why do you assume a suffek drabanan is lachumra? The grants of davar sheish lamatirin. How does that answer anything? Well, it's min b'mina. What min? There's no taruvos here. There's one egg. That's the Pnei Yehoshua's ha'ara, that the svar of the Ran doesn't seem to fit in so well with the Gemara, because the Gemara assumes that davar sheish lamatirin is not only relevant for taruvos, it's also relevant for cases of suffek, right? So if you look in the Achiezer, in Yeridayan, Simin Yadalid, Achiezer writes, this is like the punchline, and that is that everyone has to agree to Rashi. Everyone has to agree with Rashi. The fact that the Gemara is willing to assume that a davar sheish lamatirin is usur even in a suffik derabanan, everybody has to agree with Rashi. That one level of davar sheish lamatirin is ad shetochanu bisur tochanu b'heter. In other words, according to the Ran, there are two halachos. The ikar hadin of davar sheish lamatirin is bedinei taruvos. That could be a din deraisa. But you can't limit it to that. You also have to agree that there is a second tier of davar sheish lamatirin b'makom safek. And that's called ad shetochanu bisur tochanu b'heter. So in other words, what Rashi writes, this is not just a shita. Everyone has to agree that that's true. The fact that the Gemara is willing to apply davar sheish lamatirin to a case of suffik means everyone agrees ad shetochanu bisur tochanu b'heter. Why be machriya lekula if you can just let the issue resolve itself? Everyone has to agree. That's not just Rashi. Right? Everyone must agree to this answer. Maybe that would compromise the Prima Gadam's Nafkamina. Because maybe everybody agrees to a second tier of Dorashei Shema Tirin, which is why rely on any form of Hachra if you don't have to? So in other words, you see from the Gemara that Safek Lekula is Midine Hachra. In other words, how do you understand the principle of Safek Dron Lekula? Is that really a Hachra Lekula? Or could one argue, no, maybe it doesn't mean that at all. Maybe it means B'makom Safek Lo Gozer Be Rabbanan. Maybe when the Chachamim formulated the Gzeirah the Rabbanan, they did not do some Makom Safek. We once discussed that, the Ramban, right, in Shorash Rishon, Machlokas, the Ramban, the Ramban, whether the Losasar applies to Dinu and the Rabbanan. If the Rambam is correct, Losasar applies to Dinu and the Rabbanan, why is there any difference between a Sveika Daraisa, Sveika the Rabbanan? Everything's Daraisa. Right? Everything's Daraisa, at least of Losasar. So we should pask and Sveika Daraisa is the Chumrah. So the Ramban's teretz was, yeah, the Chum built this into the system. Kach hisnu chachamim. The Chum could have said Safek Doron is the Chumrah. But they wanted to make it clear that there are different gradations. There's something which is absolute Daraisa, and there is something which is just a mitzvah yishma debe chachamim. And in order that one should be aware of these distinctions, they set up different principles, different rules. B'makom safek l'gozer b'rabbanan. Right, maybe that Ramban sounds as though the b'makom safek l'gozer b'rabbanan, meaning that was never included in, as opposed to when push comes to shove, will be machria l'kula. Right, see, that's a pretty important issue in terms of this case. When efshe levarer, but something is a safek d'rabbanan. The Chiddush of Maram Chalav and our Gemara, that both when it comes to Safek Doron as well as a Sveik Sveika, no. The first step is resolution. When resolution is impossible, then we'll talk about the Klal of Safek Doron Lekula, or Sveik Sveika is considered to be Lekula. But the first step is avoidance of any type of Safek in that instance. See, that Gemara in Beit Adaf Gimel is also relevant for our issue of Sveik Sveika. See, the Brisa says the following. Step 1, Beitza Shinolda Zasura. Good. Step 2, Sveika Asura. Good. Step 3, Imnis Arva Kulam Asuras. What does Imnis Arva mean? See, step 2 was a Safek Asura. Step 3 is, and if it becomes... Wait, step 1 is Vadai. Step 2 is Safek. Step 3, and if it became mixed together with... What is it? Is it step 1 or is it step 2? What is it exactly? Step 1 in the Brayos is a Beitza Shenolda, which is Vadayas. Step 2 is Safek. I don't know when the Beitza was Nolda. Now step 3, V'imnis Arva. V'imnis Arva. See, if you assume Imnis Arva is going in the previous line, that's a great Chiddush. It's a Safek Beitza Shenolda, Shenis Arva, Asuros, because Davar Sheish Matirin. In other words, Davar Sheish Matirin is Asur even B'makom Sveik Sveika. In other words, even when you have a Sveik Sveika, the first step is resolution. That's the Ram Chalav and Ardav. Even if something is a Sveik Sveika, but if you can do something to resolve, even in Sveik Sveika. See, one could raise one issue. What about a Safek Drabbanan? And what about Sveik Sveika? Maybe one could argue, even if a Safek requires resolution, but maybe one could argue a Sveik Sveika is so far remote that maybe, and Lamda said, use the following term, that a Sveik Sveika is Monea Leidas HaSafek. It means, Lahalacha, we don't even have to reckon that as a Safek. If something is a single suffix, you're right. Sometimes we'll assume suffix lakula. That's midini hachra. But maybe not true of a case of a sveik sveika. Why do I make this point? Because if you look at the Tosfos and Beitza Daf Gimel Beis, Dramaskol Ve'acheros, Rabbi Yentam writes the following chiddush, that the imnis arva be'elav kulina suros, the shita of Rabbeinu Tam, that's avadai koi. That's going back on step one. Because step two, a sveika, shenis arva, that's a sveik sveika. And a sveik sveika is muta lechatchila, even if it's a davar sheish lamatirin. Even if it's a davar sheish lamatirin. In other words, even if davar sheish lamatirin, everyone agrees, that's why I had that whole introduction, everyone agrees, ad shetelchon avisa lechon abaheter, don't be machriya lakula, why bother? Just wait, let it resolve itself. The fact that sveik sveika is mutter is not considered to be hachra. That is not resolution. It means that b'chi hai gavna, there's no leidas hasafek. And therefore the shita of Rabbeinu Tam is that there's no chumra of davar sheish lamatirin b'makom sveik sveika. The Magid Mishnah writes this is the Rambam shita as well. Because when the Rambam quotes that halacha, the Gemara Beitza Daf Gimel, the Rambam is Nachos Yantav Perek Aleph Alachachav. The Rambam writes that only if the Vadai is Nisarva, then Kulin Asuras. A Beitza Shenolda Shenisarva, that's a typical Davar Sheish Lamatirin. A Sveika Shenisarva is a Sveik Sveika. No, and in such a case, a Sveik Sveika, there's no Chumah Davar Sheish Lamatirin. This is against the Mordechai. The Mordechai writes, it's found in Avodah Zarah, Paragimel, in Os Tuf Tuf Mem Aleph. The Mordechai assumes the name of Rabbeinu Simcha, that Davar Sheish Lamatirin is forbidden even B'Makom Sveik Sveika. Even B'Makom Sveik Sveika. Even Sveik Sveika Lekula is Midinia Hachra. And why should one be machria lakula? Just wait till tomorrow, and this will resolve itself. That's a pretty important issue. Sveik sveika lakula, midine hachra, or should one argue that no, in a case of sveik sveika, there is no leidas hasafe. Sveik sveika means that chances of iser are so far remote, you have to combine sufek A together with sufek B. So, b'chi hai gavna, we don't do so. I'll give you an example. If you look in the Prima Gada, the Psicha, Tehilchos Brachos, there are many more Marmakomos in this issue, but this is an example. Prima Gada raises the issue whether you apply the principle of Safek Brachos Lahakel in a Sveik Sveika. If you have a real bona fide Safek, Safek Brachos Lahakel, what happens if it's a Sveik Sveika? So again, a sveik sveika means that there's a very good likelihood that you are obligated to make a bracha here. I have a lot of coverage. Maybe yes, maybe not, but maybe that's part of the atosus. Right, tough pay test, siras omer. A person forgot to count at night, he counts during the day. You know, the cheshbon that, well, according to Halachos Gedolos, you can even count during the day. According to Tosis, you can even count during the day. And even if you miss the day entirely, according to Tosis, you can still count. So therefore what? Therefore continue counting with a bracha the next night? Maybe that's a good raya, maybe that's not a good raya, but it sounds like that if it's a suffix, then suffix brachos lakel. But here already, you have so many possible tzedadim to continue to allow you to count with a bracha. So in Tav Pei Tes, we allow you to count with a bracha. Maybe that's called, right, the Sveik Sveika and Dini Brachos. That sounds as though that a Sveik Sveika means Al Pidin, this is not even considered to be a Leidas HaSafek. That should be pretty important in terms of whether Davar Sheish Lamatirin is relevant. So Rabbi Natam writes that a sveik sveik is mutter and davar sheish lamatirin. The Mordechai writes sveik sveik is us and davar sheish lamatirin. There is a third shita, that's the Rashba in Beitza and Daf Gimel Amud Beis, where the Rashba writes this is not called a sveik sveik. This is not called a sveik sveik. And that's the famous statement of the Rashba But if you have safek echad begufos, safek echad betaruvos, if they're two incongruous sfeikos, you don't combine them. There's no combination. That's not called a sfeik sfeika. Safek one is the identity of the beitza. Safek two is now we took this beitza and we threw it into a pile. The location of the beitza. Now, the Rosh Barai is that those are incongruous sfeikos. Safek echad begufos, safek echad betaruvos, that's not called a sfeik sfeika. Interesting finish. That left and discuss some other time. No, but that important for our issue. To what extent do we assume that a sfeik sfeika is midini hachram machlokes between the Mordechai and Rabbeinu Tam? Ram Chalava here is very, very relevant. Ram Chalava writes this chiddush that you're right. We have a sfeik here, and Bedikas Chametz is only drabanan. But Sveika, Drabanan, Lakula, all of that is Midini Hachra, and the same thing is true when it comes to cases of a Sveik Sveik as well. So therefore, in such a case, you have no right to make them. And therefore, Bedika is necessary because Efshulavarim. So take a look for tomorrow, take a look at the Rosh in our Sugya. Right, in Perek Aleph, Simon Beis. And take a look at the Rambam, Chametz Matzah, Beis Yud, and Beis Yud Zayin. In Achinami, the Rosh writes that, and what's the Maskana of our Gemara? Hasocher Bayis? What's the Maskana of our Gemara? Right, it's Loiv Shitta. So how do you paskin in this Abayil Shitta? So in Achinami, the Rosh writes that Bittel is deraisa, but Bedika is only drabanan. This is a suffix drabanan. Azlin lakula. That's what the Rosh writes in our Gemara. That's the psak of the Rosh. We'll have to take a look at that. And then just a diuk in Rashi. This we'll have to address as well. In the case of socher bayis biyudalit, so Rashi writes one word. No, one word. And Rashi says shachris. Shachris. What exactly does that mean? No, so I have to try to figure that out as well. Here you have three possibilities, no? In terms of what Rashi means. You rented the house and you doubt, is there a cheskas vodok? Is there no cheskas vodok? When did they rent it? So Rashi says the morning. I don't know. One could have said the night, the morning, the afternoon. Right? When did you rent this house? Rashi writes, shachris, shachris. So take a look at the Pnei Yeshua, the Tzlach, the Rosh Yosef. Right. What exactly is this chiddush of Rashi? When Rashi writes b'shachris, and halacha would not be this way if you rented it at night, or if you rented it in the afternoon. Right? Exactly. What exactly is forcing Rashi to send this case to shachris? Okay, so we'll finish this tomorrow, and then we'll go on to Dalad Mabeis. Okay, take a look at midrash a bit of Amasagi. We start that, so you finish, and then the Neman is issue.